Steve and Sister Judy. Appreciate that. Appreciate Ken playing that organ. I was in the choir singing on the bass side today since we're a little bit down, and I don't know how to read music, but all you have to do is just listen to what Ken's playing. If you can hear what he's playing, you can get right in there. I do need to make one other statement, and this is not again to, it's just a statement. You know, I know there's a lot of concern about death in our country. I think it's anytime somebody dies, I think that really merits our attention. You know, it doesn't really matter what they die from. And I know there's a lot of talk about as far as the virus and how many people have died from the virus. But I think something I just need to interject in there that would maybe be a little bit of a help to keep things in perspective. You know, I don't know how many people have died from the virus worldwide, but I can tell you this, that in 2021, according to the WHO, this is not a Baptist organization, the WHO said 73 million abortions were committed in 2021. That makes the deaths by COVID pale in comparison. And if everything that was done to prevent people from catching the virus was done to give these unborn children life, then we would have a much better world. I can hear somebody say we'd have a much more populous world. Yeah, I wonder how many more people that had great minds and great talents and great abilities would be in the world today. I wonder if we didn't kill somebody that may have had the ability to have a cure for cancer, maybe a cure for a virus like we have now, but we'll never know because their life was taken. Here's what I think. I think, are you listening to me? It is so hypocritical to talk about preserving life in this country when really what they're preserving is a lifestyle. Because if we were really interested in preserving life, then we would not allow such things as abortion to take place in this country the way it has. In fact, I looked in a little, there's a website that I keep up with as far as the number of people that have the virus. I check it daily. I do that for my own information, so knowing about the church and how to help our people. Since New Year started, there have been 173,000 abortions in the world. That's since the ball dropped in Times Square. That is wrong. And I know that people say, well, it's my body and it's my right. Well, that child has a body and has a right as well. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Today's message is not about that, but it's just so hypocritical to talk about how precious life is and then to take and allow that to happen is travesty. Joshua chapter 14 this morning. Joshua 14, and if you have your Bible and you're in Joshua 14, there is a dividing of the land. In other words, Israel has now come into Canaan and they are being given their inheritance. Their inheritance is land. It's not necessarily wealth and you know, money and other material goods. It's land. God is giving them an inheritance by tribe of land. And as he does that, in the middle of that, there's a man by the name of Caleb that comes to Joshua, and he has an inquiry. The Bible says in verse number 6, and the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he has said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. That's 85 years of age. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Now the Bible says in verse 12, Caleb says, I want this mountain. Great song. Pierre Austin used to sing it. I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord hath given me. I read about how that was written, and it came out of this passage and a passage in Numbers. And if you look what he says, I want this mountain, but look at the mountain he's asking for, the Anakims. Do you see that in your Bible? Anakims are there. You want, an Anakim is a giant. An Anakim was a man that was considered a giant by others. Those men that went to spy out the land said, it is a land filled with giants. These aren't small men. In fact, the Bible says that we were as grasshoppers in our sight compared to them. These were great big men, and we were small men, and these are giants. And then he says that the cities were great and fenced. So these cities were large cities, but they were fenced cities. So these giants in that land, in that mountain, had great cities, fenced cities, and they were giants. And here's what I just want to say. This is my message this morning. I don't know what 2022 holds, but this passage is about facing giants. And here's what I want to say. I know there's a great movie that was about that. I'm not going to give reference to that at all. I'm not even talking about it. I'm talking about this. I don't know what giants you will face in 2022. I have no idea what it will be in your ministry or in your family. I know my family faced a giant at the end of this year that changed really our entire, not just life, but perspective. And I'm just going to say this morning, look, I don't know what 2022 holds. I don't know if we're going to have war in the Pacific. I don't know if we're going to have hyperinflation. I don't know if we're going to have, 25 variants of the virus. I have no idea. I don't read a crystal ball. I also don't read the horoscope, or I don't go to anybody that reads palms either. I have no idea what the future of 2022 is, but I'm here to tell you this morning. Listen to me. Whatever 2022 holds, as long as I'm walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, I can face whatever obstacles there are. That includes our ministry. Our ministry, we may face things with the children's home. We may have someone to take out a lawsuit against us there. We may face things in our school, in our college. We may face things as Christians in 2022. Yeah, I know the idea is that there's going to be this wave that comes in of people of another party that will give us all kinds of freedom. We really have no idea what's going to happen in 2022, but I'll tell you this, I'm convinced and I am settled on this fact. Whatever I face in 2022 is going to be all right as long as I'm with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've made up my mind, whatever giants we have to face, whatever graveside we have to stand by, whatever economic difficulty we face, there is no thing that you and I can face that we are not more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now, I'm not preaching this to be a hoorah message this morning. I told you, 2020, I started out, we're going to focus on Jesus. 2020 vision for Jesus Christ. And boy, that just didn't go anywhere. So I decided this morning, I'm going to preach a little more relevant message. Whatever we face in 2020, whether it's worship or woe, we're going to face it with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now, there's three components in this passage, three words that I want to give you in facing giants and looking at mountains in front of you. And the first one is the word faith. If you look there in verse number 12, the Bible says, now therefore give me this mountain where the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Verse 12 said, Caleb is requesting a mountain that is filled with giants and fenced cities based on what the Lord spake in the day when he went and spied out the land. In other words, he is not just arbitrarily saying, well, I just want this mountain. He is saying, no, this is something that I have based in statement from God. Go back and look at it, verse number 6. The Bible says, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God. He said, you know what, Joshua, you know what Moses, was told by the Lord concerning me and this mountain. Verse number 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses. In other words, he's not giving any credit to his ability to have arrived at this point in his life. He's saying, everything about my life is predicated on the promises of God. And I'm going to say this morning, listen, if there's anything that you need in 2022, it is the word called faith. Faith. Listen, there's all kinds of definitions about faith. Faith is your estimation of God's ability. How many think that God has more ability than you have problems? What is God's ability? All right. Faith has also been described as your trust or your confidence in the promises of God. Can I ask you this morning, hey church, how many of you believe that this is a trustworthy book regardless of what goes on in this country? I can put my confidence in every word, every line, every promise of God. I can put my promise or I put my faith there. Faith is often measured by the obstacles that it overcomes. And the obstacle that Caleb has in front of him are giants and this mountain and these fenced cities. And yet I believe that God is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen. That he's able to take and step across all of those problems. But that word faith, again in verse 12, whereof the Lord spake in that day. You and I, if we're going to face giants in 2022, we're going to have faith. So let me say it this way in case you're here this morning and you don't understand what I'm saying. I am not saying that you have to have religion to face giants in 2022. I believe you can be a very religious person. You can be a good person. You can be a person that tries to do good to your neighbors and tries to do good to your fellow man. You can do all those things, but that is not going to help you when it comes to facing giants, because there is a difference between religion and faith. Religion is something the world is full of. There are 2 billion Muslims. There are 1 billion Hindus. There are 1 billion Buddhists. That's 4 billion people. We only have 8 billion in the world. Half the world identifies with a religion that is not even associated with Christianity. Not even associated. So religion is not what I'm talking. I'm not talking. Well, I go to church at Christmas and Easter, or I go to church on a regular... that's not what I'm not talking... I'm saying that if you are going to face giants in 2022, like standing beside the casket or the body of somebody you love, you're going to need more than religion. You're going to need faith in the God in heaven above. And I'd like to say this, the difference between religion and faith is this. Religion says this is what you have to do to be pleasing to God, for him to give you the promises and benefits. And on the other side, faith says this. Faith says you don't do anything. You just put your trust in a God that's already done it for you. I am trusting in what Jesus Christ did at Calvary 2,000 years ago. You say, that's so long ago. You're exactly right. And it's unchanged to this day. The blood that he poured out on Calvary is just as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago. The Apostle Paul that wrote 13 books of the New Testament, listen, he trusted in the blood of Christ for his salvation as a religious Jew that hated Christianity, and he got born again. And the same blood that washed away his sin is the same blood that washed away my sin. I don't have a religion. I may be Baptist. I don't have a religion. I've got salvation through a God that finished the work for me. Amen. And if you're here this morning, or you're listening by the way of the radio, you say, well, I believe in God, and I didn't say that. Well, I believe in heaven. I didn't say that. I said, I have put my faith in the finished work at what Jesus did at Calvary. And if you're going to face giants in 2022, you're going to need a Savior is what you're going to need. It doesn't matter who they put in Washington, D.C. It doesn't matter how much stimulus money you get. It doesn't matter. You may get promotions until you got the corner office and the best parking spot in all the garage. That is not what I am talking about. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going to help you face anything you face. Everybody that I've told, and I've had, I probably have not been a good pastor in the past month. Because I've just not been where I need to be, doing everything I need to do. And I probably didn't understand all the nuances of what it's like to be there with somebody you love so dearly as they leave this world. And they send you death certificates. And you have to take those certificates and you have to file them and you have to call all these people and you have to begin explaining who it was that passed away, when they passed away. And you have to give proof of that. And as I would do that, my brother and I this past week, we primarily, that was occupied a large portion of my time, I would hear it over and over again. I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. Your dad passed away before Christmas. I'm so sorry. And you know, instead of me breaking down on the phone and falling apart, I said over and over again, this is what I'd say. I know this may sound cold to you, but my dad was a born-again Christian. And we knew when he breathed his last breath, he was going to a place that God made called heaven. And he had suffered enough here on this earth, and we were glad to see him leave this earth and go to a place that he taught about when he was here on this earth. And you know, a lot of people didn't know how to respond to that. They would just say, well, I'm sorry. No, I just told you the good news. Why are you sorry again? Well, I'm sorry. No, it's not. I understand. They don't know what, because the world doesn't think that way. But I'm telling you, as a believer, we have a God whose grace is always sufficient. We have a God who's given us eternal promises, not promises that are made by one administration that fall by the way 4 years later. We have promises in this book that are eternal and that have never failed one time. And you need that facing whatever giants you face. Now, if you don't have salvation today, or if you're not saved today, the first thing you need to do, you need to get born again. You need to put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's why he said over and over again, the Lord spake. Now, I know that faith is not just about salvation. And I would say this, churchy, listen to me. How many of you believe that the Bible says and is always right, my God shall supply all your need? Do you believe that? I know that was written to a church that was given to missions, but the Bible says that my God shall supply all your need. Preacher, I don't know what we're going to do. We may face unbelievably, insurmountable circumstances. I'm talking about financially, economically. Yeah, how are we going to make it? How are we going to be able to get by? I tell you how we're going to do it. My God shall supply all your need. Amen. You know, the Bible says that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Preacher, we don't have enough strength to get through this. I don't think we can make it. How many of you believe that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens me? That's called faith. That's not faith in my ability. I'm telling you right now, this 85-year-old man is not saying, it's my ability that's going to get me this mountain. No, no, no. He's telling you that God made a promise and God keeps his promises. He keeps his promises. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, no matter how dark life may get, you know who you can always find there? You can find the God of heaven if you're born again. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And I could go on and on. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Psalm 46 says that. How many of you believe that he is a very present help in time of trouble? In other words, God can be in places that nobody else can get. Now, I found out over the last few months that there are some places that nobody can get. Not your family. Not your friends. Not money. Not the medical community. There's some places that nobody can go, but I'm here to tell you, are you listening to me? There's no place that my God can't go. Amen. He promised I'll be present right in the middle of that. Amen. So if you're going to face giants in 2022, number one, you have to have faith. You have to have faith. Without faith, I don't think you'll be able to conquer the giants that you face in 2022. Amen. Listen, do you understand that our country, it's stated that there are more people right now seeking out psychiatric care than at any other time in our history, to the point where they are backed up to where you have to schedule far out in advance. People have talked about the mental problems that our country is facing because of first isolation and now because of fear and all the things that are just not normal. You know why they have such trouble? Because they don't have the God that you and I have. They don't have the same person to turn to. The stability. Listen, the world may turn and change. God never changes. He never changes. Faith. Faith. Number two, you've got to have faithfulness. That's the second word, faithfulness. Understand that when we're looking in this passage, verse number 7, are you looking at it? 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. He's talking to Joshua based on what Moses, who is dead, told him 40 years ago. 40 years ago. And he has stayed steadfast. He has not wavered. He's not moved. Now, I'm going to take and push that for just a moment. But you and I, what we need to do is we need to be faithful in what God has told us to do. I've told you, I think we ought to be this year more determined to be at church no matter what happens, because the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. And there's so much more as you see the day approaching. I believe Jesus is coming soon. So I need to be more faithful. I need to be here when the doors are open. Why? Because the Bible says that. So let me give you 3 points about faith. Number one, faithfulness is doing what God wants you to do. Faithfulness is not doing what you want to do. It's doing what God wants you to do. Caleb did exactly what God wanted him to do. He went out into that land. He espied out the land. And he came back and he brought back a report. We are able, through the power of God, to take this land. He was faithful in that. He was faithful in the wilderness wanderings. You and I, we need to do what God has asked us to do as parents. As parents. Don't give in to the culture that we live in today. It is so repulsive. And I'm preaching ahead of myself in a message I've got ready for Titus chapter 2. But listen, the world today speaks, filth pours out of people's mouths today. So much so that the algorithm on my phone identifies things that I say as curse words when I didn't curse. And it's not just about being Southern. I think it's about because that's the way people talk today. Every other word has to be a curse word. Listen, do not accept that as a mother and dad. Don't let that kind of filth in your home. Come on, don't let that filth in your home. We're to be faithful. I'm not going to move because the world is moved. Well, the world thinks it's all right to socially drink. The world thinks it's all right to take and live together before you're married. The world can think what it wants to think. I'm going to keep my feet standing on what I've already been told is right. I'm going to be faithful to what God said, I have given you power that you should be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. Well, they made it illegal to witness. Doesn't matter. We've got a higher power that told us we're supposed to be doing it anyway. Amen. Come on, y'all didn't say amen to that. That's the truth. Amen. That's why we're still putting Bibles and the gospel in North Korea and China. Well, their government says they don't want it. Their government's not in charge. God is. Amen. And he said they need the opportunity to hear. So we have to be faithful. Do what God wants you to do, and then do what God wants you to do with the right attitude. That's faithfulness. Don't do what God wants you to do with a bad attitude. Oh, my. Amen. We always taught our children that obedience was doing something cheerfully and immediately. Not just immediately. You had to do it cheerfully. Amen. Don't just do it with a bad attitude. You know, when you take out the trash, somebody says, hey, look, you go take out the trash. I don't want to take out the trash. I'm in the middle of playing my favorite video game. I'm on level 58. Come on, that's breakfast break a world record. Go take out the trash. We got to leave. Slamming doors. Knocking the big garbage can over, throwing a bag at it. Coming back inside. I did it! No, you didn't. Go back out there and get it. Bring it back in here and take it out again. You say, that's mean. No, that's not mean. That's learning how to do something cheerfully and immediately. You know, sometimes God asks to do things that you think we're dying because he's asked us to do them. It is not a labor to come to church. I enjoy coming to church. We have to go. We have to go to prayer meeting. We have to go. No, we get the privilege of going. I have to read my Bible. I have to tithe. Oh, I'm going to figure it up right to the tenth. I think you ought to give God more than a tenth. I mean, he can have it all if he wants. It all came from him anyway. I'm just saying, doing it with the right attitude, not complaining, not being rebellious, not being self-willed, not proud, but just doing what God wants you to do with the right attitude. And then there's the last thing. Being faithful means doing what God asks you to do regardless of the cost.
Amen. Amen.
You know, there's a cost of doing right. Bob Jones Sr., what a great quote. Do right till the stars fall. Do right.
Amen.
Come on, help me just a minute. There's a price to pay for doing right. You do right in today's society and you'll be canceled. Or you might lose your job. Or you might make all the rounds on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. You might be exposed as being racist or any other number of things just for doing right. You know what I say? I say we ought to do right regardless of what it costs us. We ought to do right. We ought to, and I want you to think about this. He was faithful even though he was somebody that had lived in Egypt. He lived in Egypt. Caleb lived in Egypt. He could have lived a wicked life, but to live the right life. And then he was in the wilderness wilderings for so long. 40 years he was out there in the wilderness. He could have stopped at any point, but he didn't stop. There was so much out there he kept going. Listen, you and I ought to be faithful because of what God brought us out of. Come on now. We ought to be faithful because of what God brought us out of. There are many of us in here, you no longer sit at the bar, you no longer have filthy language, you no longer are controlled by alcohol and drugs and rioting and a lie. You have been given a new lease on life. God brought you out of something. But then he's brought you through some things. Come on, 40 years in the wilderness, they were wandering and they could, Mike, I quit, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to follow God anymore. It's dry out here. It's dirty and dusty out here. And I hate this. I hate this place. He didn't do that. He made it all the way through the wilderness. Can I say this? God has brought some of you through some low places in life too. Come on now. God has brought you some dark valleys in your life. Well, now's not the time to stop following. Now's the time to keep on following. He saw this place that he's asking for 40 years earlier. Good night. He's 85 years of age. And he said, I want this mountain. You know, it's not just what God brought you out of and what God brought you through, but how many of you can say, God's brought me to a whole lot of blessings in my life? Amen. Amen. I have had to repeat that over and over again, not just to myself, but to my family and to others. My dad's life was not measured by the moments in the weeks that his life ended. His life is measured by a lifetime full of blessing. God was good to my dad from the time he was a kid all the way up until the time that he died. It just was a harder ending, but it didn't change all the blessings. Could I ask you this question this morning? How many of you have been blessed by God? Let's just do a test right here. How many of you live in a nicer home than you lived in 30 years ago? Now, I hope God's watching, and if you don't raise your hand, I hope you lose whatever that you would not admit to. How many of you are driving a nicer vehicle than you did 30 years ago? Mm-hmm. How many of you are wearing nicer watches and clothes and shoes and et cetera, than you did 30 years ago? Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there wasn't a hand didn't go up, mostly. Where did all that come from? Did that come from the United States government? Did that come from your ability to be smart and ingenuitive and prepare for the future? Or did that come from the hand of a benevolent God that's been good to his people? We ought to be faithful because of what he's done for us. Not just of what he brought me out of and brought me through, but what he brought me to. He brought me to something. Faithfulness. Last word. Fellowship. I don't think it's possible for him to be able to do what he's talking about doing without fellowship. And I mean that with the Lord. If you look what he says again, there in verse number 9, he says, and Moses sware that day, saying, surely the land where thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he has said, these 45 years, that's 85 years. The end of the verse says, lo, I am this day 80 and 5 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there and the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. Fellowship with God is something I think is necessary for you to face the mountains that you face and the giants you face. This man is 85 years of age, and when I read that and he starts talking about as my strength was then at 45, even so is my strength now. How many of you are 65 and you're not as strong as you were at 45? Yeah, don't raise that hand. I understand that. You can't see like you used to see. You can't hear like you used to hear. You can't taste like you used to taste. You can't get up out of a chair like you used to get up out of a chair. Isn't that right? I mean, come on. Right now, at 56. It doesn't matter after you turn 50, does it? 56, 58, 65. At 56, I know that I am much diminished. I cannot imagine, though, if at 56 I was able to do what I did 40 years ago. At 16, if I was as strong now as I was at 16, if I could see like I saw at 16, if I could hear like I heard at 16, if I could do what I used to do at 16, I cannot imagine standing up and saying, please come and buy my new book, The Ways that You Can Learn How to Make Your Most Youthful Life Ever. You know what I think I'd have to do? God sure has blessed me. He's helped me. And what I'm trying to get you to see this morning, you're going to need fellowship with God if the Lord will be with me. If He'll be with me, then I'll be able to take and face these giants. I'll be able to face these fenced cities. That's right in the context of that verse. But without His presence, I can't do it. You know what Moses said? God, if you don't go with me, then take me not up hence. If you're not going with me, I'm not going. And let me tell you something. We have gotten so used to thinking that church is the same thing as the presence of God. Church is not the presence of God. I will say this, when you come to the right church, in a Bible-believing church, you can find God's presence there. I want to be in a church where I can find God's presence. But just being inside of a church building is not the same thing as being in God's presence. You can be in God's presence in your car while you drive down the road going to work. You can be in God's presence in your bathroom when you're getting ready for work. You can be in God's presence in your house on Saturday morning, on Monday morning, on Monday evening. Hey, you've got a God you can spend time with, not a statue or an idol. I don't come to church to find God. I can find God at home. And this 85-year-old man said, hey, I just want you to know something. I'm as strong as I was 40 years ago when he made me that promise. And if he'll be with me, I'm going to go whip all those giants. Come on, who's 85 in here? Somebody's got to be 85. 85-year-old man. Anybody 85, stand up. Anybody admit to it? 85. 84. 86. Brother Rappinchuk. How old are you, Brother Rappinchuk? Really don't matter after you get to be 80 anyway. Can you imagine? Listen. Stay standing, Brother. If the Lord be with me, I'm going to go take those. He didn't say me and my army, my posse.
Amen.
He didn't say me and all my, he said, look, if the Lord be with me, I am going over there to those fenced cities in that big mountain with all those giants, and I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
Now, come on, if Brother Rappinchuk said, listen, any man in here wants a little piece of me, you come on down here after service, and I'm going to go ahead and take care of you. You say, well, that's great attitude, great heart. Wouldn't you say that?
Amen.
I think that's the way they looked at Samson. See, we have made Samson out to be Arnold Schwarzenegger in our Betty Lukens flannel graph. Samson was not I think Samson was this little wisp of a man that God's power came on, and when God's power came on him, he could rip off the gates of an entire city. He could take the jawbone of an ass and kill 1,000 men. He could do whatever he wanted to do in God's strength and power. Hey, that's true of you and I. Thank you, Brother Rapping Chuck. We're all weak as water. We are all frail. We all have limitations. Are you listening to me? God has more power than you have weakness.
Amen.
If you'll spend time with him.
Amen.
I've tried to make a resolution. I don't usually make resolutions, but I am not going to look at anything that has to do with anything digital until after I spend time with God every day. I'm not going to look at it. I'm not looking at the news. I'm not looking at my text. I'm not looking at my emails. I'm going to spend time with who I need to spend the most time with. Now, for some of y'all, that may not mean anything. But what you need to do, fellowship with God is what's going to make it possible for you to face the giants in 2022. Your determination to be faithful regardless of the circumstances, what God brought you from and what he brought you through, I'm going to be faithful. That will help you face the giants of 2022.
Amen.
Your faith in what God has already promised is going to help you face whatever giants you have in 2022. And I don't know what they are, but I know who he is. And I wanted to give an invitation this way. Instead of maybe asking for something, I wonder if there'd be any of God's people that would just come to an altar day and say, God, I know I need you in my life every day. God, please help my fellowship with you to be strong this year. Maybe you ought to get up out of your pew and say, God, help me not to waver in my faith. Would you give me a heart to believe all your promises? Maybe you ought to get on an altar and say, God, I don't know what circumstances I'm going to face, but I am determined to wholly follow you no matter what the circumstances of life may bring. Help me, God, to do that. Help me not to turn aside. Help me not to give up in following you. Brother Ken, if you play on that organ, Brother Hope, a lot of folks on the altar this morning, God, would you help my relationship with? That's what you're going to need in 2022. No, I need a better job. No, you don't. You need him. I need this to happen in my, you need him. We got a lot of folks on the altar this morning. And I want to make one other appeal this morning. If you're here this morning and you understand what I said about being religious, religion is not the same thing as being a born-again Christian and having a life of faith. It's one thing to trust what religion has told you. It's another thing to trust what Jesus did at the cross 2,000 years ago. And if you'd like to be saved today, if you're listening by the way of internet or by way of radio, why don't you just bow your head, close your eyes, and say, Lord, please, please forgive me of my sins. I understand my sins have put me at odds with you, but I'm going to accept by faith what Jesus did on the cross to pay for those. Why don't you do that today? Why don't you give up your sin and accept what he's done by faith? Would you do that today? You say, Lord, I know I need you to face what's coming in 2022, and I don't want to do it by myself. Oh, what a help the believer has. Oh, my. What a source, what a resource, what a strength we have in him. Brother Holden, why don't you sing a verse of that song?
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Well, I think that's a perfect ending to the message today. Would you stand to your feet? Let's sing a verse of that as a dismissal song. And I want you to be back tonight. We want to put an emphasis on missions tonight, church conference tonight, and I don't think you're going to want to miss tonight. But let's sing a verse of that. Brother Hobart, lead us in one verse of that, would you?
Life stands a perfect submission. All is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness.
Amen. Sing it
lost
now.
Lost in His love.
Sing it from your
Sing
heart.
It now.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song.
Praising my Savior all the day long.
All right. How many of you glad you made the first service of the year? Amen. If we could just keep that up through the rest of the year till the rapture takes place. And who knows when that'll be. God bless you. We'll see you tonight.